From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Peña with a local and statewide news update. Over the weekend, Alaskans marched peacefully in at least three cities, Anchorage, Juneau, and Fairbanks, to protest the death of George Floyd. Floyd was a black man in Minneapolis who died after a police officer pinned him to the ground with his knee on Floyd's neck. Four Minnesota police officers have been fired, and one, Derek Chauvin, has been arrested and charged with a third-degree murder. Alaska Public Media's Mayoa Aina attended two rallies in Anchorage Saturday and has this story. A note to listeners, this story does contain a racial slur.
About 100 people gathered at noon over the weekend for a march through a quiet downtown Anchorage. Many in the crowd held signs protesting police brutality and were chanting slogans like "I Can't Breathe" and "Black Lives Matter" as they marched for about 45 minutes. Trinity Sherman showed up with her son, Zayshawn. She says she understands the fear and anger that people have at losing a loved one to police.
I'm a white mother of a biracial young daughter and a biracial son, and this is something I extremely worry about for my kids' future. I want my kids to feel safe and know that at the end of the day, they don't have to be scared, but it's not how it's going anymore. And at the end of the day, we might be how many miles away at the end, but we support, the fact that everybody has the right to breathe. Everybody has the right to walk down the street safely. Everybody has the right to, if you happen to get in trouble, you should be able to make it home.
About an hour later, a second rally was held in the parking lot in Midtown Anchorage, where a larger group of hundreds gathered. Event organizer Jasmine Smith told the crowd that seeing the video of Floyd on the ground spurred her to action.
We recognize that Anchorage is a very diverse city, and it's easy for us to constantly be proud of that diversity. But if that diversity doesn't come with equity and justice, what good is diversity alone? Right. And the opening question I ask myself every day as a black woman who has black children raising a black son, at what point do our kids go from cute to suspect?
The event featured several speakers, including pastors and community activists from Alaska Native, Asian, and Pacific Islander community groups. There were also moments of silence, a call and response, and poetry reading. For many, the day's events were about standing in solidarity with other communities and cities, as well as raising awareness. Some people who attended the rally said they were tired and sad, but also grateful for the number of people who showed up.
My name's Nikea Johnson.
J.D. Conley.
My name is Zakiya Thornton.
All the police brutality that's going on, we have to come together. We have to let them know that this is not right. We do matter. All lives matter. Every soul is precious. You can't just take it away for your own beliefs.
Like how she said, enough is enough. Just come out here and grieve the death of so many African Americans that have been taken from us over the years, and just kind of gather around and just show some love.
I'm fed up. I'm fed up with the police brutality. We got to stand together. If we don't come together, who's going to stop it?
And others who attended the rally were angry.
Trey McElroy. Why did I decide to come out today? All three of us, we sit here and we fight for the country every day. You know what I'm saying? We all in the military. When we put on a uniform, we good. You know what I'm saying? But once we take the uniform off, we just another nigga on the street that's going to get killed by the police. You know what I'm saying? So without no justice, ain't no peace. Are we really free? Is freedom really free? Ask yourself, is freedom really free? You know what I'm saying? Is peace, are we fighting for freedom? Is that what we doing when we go overseas? Is we really fighting for our freedom or who freedom? The white man freedom? Who freedom? What freedom we fighting for? You know what I'm saying? Because apparently in these streets ain't no freedom. Especially for the black man, ain't no freedom. We can't walk out the house without thinking about getting killed. You don't know what's gonna happen. I don't know what's gonna happen. You know what I'm saying? My mom called me on the daily asking me if I'm okay. Why should she have to do that? You know what I'm saying? Why should she have to call me regularly to ask if I'm okay?
After nearly 2 hours of speakers and performances, the rally closed with a prayer, and event organizer Jasmine Smith led a call to action and a call and response with the crowd.
Another moment of silence. I see a lot of people's faces, a lot of tears, a lot of smiles, a lot of anger, and all those feelings are justified. You have a right to be happy. You have a right to be mad, sad, disgusted, in disbelief, confused. You have a right to all of it. The question, fed up, you have a right to that too. The question is, what are we gonna do with it? What do we do next with the feeling?
No justice, no peace.
We can yell that one next. No justice, no peace.
No justice, no peace.
No justice, no peace.
The rally officially ended close to 4 p.m., but participants continued to gather on the corner of Northern Lights Boulevard and Denali Street, waving signs and cheering at passing cars. Both the march and the rally remained peaceful. In Anchorage, I'm Mayowa Aina.
No justice! No justice!
A dozen people in an extended care facility in Anchorage have tested positive for COVID-19. Those infected with the virus are a mix of residents and caregivers at the Providence Transitional Care Center, a skilled nursing facility in Anchorage. They're among 27 new Alaskans that state health officials announced had the virus on Sunday. It's the largest single-day spike in cases since Alaska first started tracking the spread of the virus in March. A recent survey from the State Department of Health and Social Services shows a sharp increase in vaping and suicide attempts among high school students in Alaska. The Youth Risk Behavior Survey is conducted every 2 years among almost 2,000 high school students across the state. The survey says 1 in 4 students reported currently vaping in 2019. Currently means at least once in the past 30 days. That's an increase from 1 in 6 in 2017. Christy Knight is with the department's Tobacco Prevention and Control Program. She says the cost of vaping for teens is the impact on brain development.
Many youth are not necessarily aware when they use the products that they contain nicotine, which is highly addictive.
Just like in combustible cigarettes, nicotine impacts attention and learning memory.
We have over 50 years of research on combustible cigarettes, whereas e-cigarettes are still fairly new and we're still learning the long-term and short-term health impacts.
The risk survey also reported an increase in mental health distress among high school students. 1 in 5 students surveyed reported having attempted suicide at least once. That's higher than the last survey in 2017. Leah Von Kirk is the suicide prevention coordinator with the DHSS.
So what that really tells us is that it's really important for us to continue working to support youth and to really promote protective factors that help youth be resilient and reach out and get help when they need it.
For individual families, it's important to take preventative measures. Von Kirk says it's okay to ask a loved one if they are having thoughts of suicide. Anyone in distress can also call the Alaska Care Line at 877-266-4357. The Native Youth Olympics brings together student athletes from across the state each year to celebrate Alaska Native culture through competition. Organizers canceled this year's games due to the COVID-19 pandemic, but found a way to continue the annual tournament that's rooted in sportsmanship and survival. KTOO's Adeline Baxter has more.
Instead of meeting at the Alaska Airlines Center in Anchorage this year, teams sent in videos of athletes competing in their events. Coaches submitted scorecards and judges reviewed the submissions. The winners were announced Friday during a virtual award ceremony.
We had almost 50 athletes from over 20 communities compete from as far north as Nunavut, as far west as Nome, and as far south as Unalaska and Juneau. Nearly every region in the state was represented.
That's event judge Nicole Johnson. She said athletes competed outside on beaches and driveways, inside community centers, and from their living rooms. Juno athlete Ezra Elisoff placed first among boys in the Alaskan high kick. The event requires balance and strength as athletes try to kick a small sealskin ball dangling from a string above them.
The thing is, you don't really need fancy equipment. All you need is just a kicking ball and a nice place to yourself.
Elisoff and his teammates trained after school throughout the year. Though he said it was disappointing to have the in-person event canceled, he's just glad he got to compete, even if he won't get to celebrate his victory with his team. Competitors in the Native Youth Olympics build each other up throughout the event. Elisoff says in other sports, you don't see that.
With NYO, it's different because you're encouraged to help others and you're encouraged to encourage each other and cheer each other on, because that's kind of what kept our ancestors alive, you know, all those years ago. And so I'm kind of proud to say that this is part of my culture.
Native games extend outside of Alaska. Youth and adults regularly compete in similar events against athletes from as far away as Greenland. In March, the Arctic Winter Games in Whitehorse, Canada, were abruptly canceled for the first time since 1970 due to health concerns. The annual World Eskimo Indian Olympics, which takes place in Fairbanks in July, has also been canceled. Organizers say they hope to hold an online celebration. In Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter.